Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, following last week's announcement of global job cuts at Twitter, the social media giant has today told Irish-based staff who are at risk of redundancy that it intends to comply with its statutory requirements here, including notifying the Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment about any reduction in its workforce. Thorstein Leovracker is due to meet officials from both the IDA and Enterprise Ireland this evening amid mounting concern over the stability of the tech sector in Ireland, with the Wall Street Journal reporting Facebook parent company Meta is also planning to announce large-scale layoffs this week. Well, for more on this, we're joined now by Fianna Fáil TD James Lawless and Sinn Féin TD and spokesperson on Enterprise, Trade and Employment, Louise O'Reilly. And thank you both for joining us this evening. James, I might come to yourself first, and I wonder what can you tell us about this meeting this evening between the Taoiseach and the IDA, because I know the Taoiseach has also been urging calm in relation to any potential job cuts in the tech sector here.
Yeah, good evening. Look, first of all, I suppose my thoughts are with any employees who are getting bad news this evening or over the weekend. I was in that situation myself a number of years ago. I worked in the tech sector during the first dot-com crash in the early noughties, and I remember well being called into a meeting and getting the bad news. So, look, it's a very difficult time for anybody affected. I do have some friends working in Twitter in particular, and I've been talking to them over the weekend. In terms of what government are doing, so the Taoiseach made it very clear last week, his comments about dignity of the workplace and how staff are treated and managed. I think everybody was in shock when they heard Musk was at the wheel maybe 7 days when he started letting people go and in pretty much a haphazard fashion and without people getting proper notice and getting sort of directed that their screen. I heard one employee say his screen was white in front of him as he sat at the keyboard. So those kind of actions are not the actions of a caring, considerate employer. And the Taoiseach's comments seem to have been taken on board because now they're backtracking. Now, I don't give them much credit for it, but they're backtracking now saying Twitter are saying, well, we will comply with the law. Thank you very much for doing the legal thing and fulfilling your obligations.
But nonetheless... Well, I don't know, is that a backtrack as such? They never suggested they wouldn't, did they?
Well, they didn't. Well, first of all, they were obliged under the collective redundancy legislation to issue a notice to the minister, relevant minister, in advance of taking action, or at least at the same time as. They are also obliged then to engage the minister on what a collective redundancy might look like. They haven't to date done either of those things. So I think I suspect that this was a global diktat coming from the new boss, Elon Musk, and the local jurisdictions and legal teams, etc., perhaps didn't have time to do the necessary thing. But either way, the Taoiseach put a shot across their bows in this jurisdiction, and they do seem to have backtracked a little bit. As I say, I don't give them great credit because they're only doing what they're obliged to do legally. But really, it's a mess, and the staff deserve better.
Louise, you're calling for the IDA to appear before the Oireachtas Committee on Enterprise to answer questions about the scale of these potential layoffs and what it means for the industry here. What would you like to hear from the IDA?
Well, just to say, Sarah, if I could, to send my solidarity and support to those workers who are being laid off at the moment. It's never a good time. But indeed, this is in the middle of a cost of living crisis. It's the absolute worst time, I think, for many of them. What we're hoping will happen, and we'll hear from the IDA, and I note that the IDA are briefing the Taoiseach this evening, and I think a similar briefing would be appropriate for the members of the Enterprise, Trade and Employment Committee. What we want to hear from them is if they can give us an overview of where these job losses are and what the likely impact of them are, but also the likely impact of any knock-on consequence. So it's not just the people that are directly working there, but there might be potential knock-on layoffs or knock-on implications in other areas as well. We also want to hear what they will be doing to replace these jobs. I mean, these are highly educated people. They're an asset. And you know, we need to see the IDA putting together a plan. And we also want to hear, given that there is so much volatility in the tech sector at the moment, and I would agree, there's no need to be panicking, but now is the time to be planning. So we want to hear from the IDA what plans they are going to put in place and how they are going to ensure that they can factor in the necessity to risk assess, you know, for volatility in the sector. You know, I think the point was well made there by James. You know, we're not going to thank them for complying with the absolute minimum that the law requires, but they did bypass, certainly on the face of it, they appear to have bypassed certain procedures when, you know, people got an email to tell them that their job might be in jeopardy. Well, that to me is a signal that there may potentially be redundancies. Mm. And at that stage, there should be a very deep engagement with the workers to, you know, to ascertain, number one, how many redundancies and how they can be kept.
But
that is
what is beginning now, isn't it? That consultation period is beginning
now.
It is indeed.
But that should have happened before those emails were sent out.
James, you know? I want to ask you about this question about, you know, we don't need to panic, stay calm, all of that. There's no clarity really yet, is there, on whether or not we need to panic as such? Because there has been so much talk over the last couple of years about how much Ireland has become dependent on our revenue from corporation tax. And we've been told that the vast, I think it's 53% of our corporation tax is coming from the top 10 taxpaying units. Do you know, for example, is Facebook and Twitter among those top 10?
I think almost certainly they are. I don't have the figures in front of me, but what we would normally refer to as FANG, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Microsoft and Google, would normally be considered the top five multinationals, and that includes revenue as well. There is certainly a dependence on corporation tax from those multinationals. A couple of things I'd say on that. One is that the foreign direct investment story in Ireland has been a very successful one. It dates back to the 60s when the mass opened up foreign direct investment, and we have multiple companies and multiple operations in this jurisdiction, not just in the tech sector, but across things like life sciences, pharmaceuticals, medical devices. We have our own indigenous industry. We have the food and drink people like Kerry Group.
I know we do, but no, I just might stop you there for a second, because if you're saying that five of the top 10 taxpaying units, from which 53% of our corporation tax is coming, are tech companies, and we're seeing a downward trend in tech companies, is it not time to panic?
I rarely advocate panic, and I think...
Well, is it not time to be worried? Sorry, is it not time to be worried?
Sorry, let's be pragmatic. So let's take the first point that we have a diverse portfolio of foreign direct investment, which spans many sectors as well as technology. Let's take the second point, that the technology sector has always been regarded as one that was perhaps a little more volatile than others. And as I say, I lived through this directly the first time round. However, the tech sector is also one that typically stabilises, that sees market valuations rise and fall, that typically stabilises. Microsoft has been here for, 50 years now. Mm. Apple is similar. The social media firms are here not the same duration. They stay here 20 or more years at this stage. And I don't see that these companies are going to collapse overnight. What I do see is a period of instability, I think for different reasons. Musk would be largely a play in Twitter. He bought it for the evaluation was too great. Within Facebook, which is now called Meta, Mike Zuckerberg's bet on the metaverse may not pay off. Investors are beginning to get spooked.
Yeah.
So there are various reasons in different firms. But I would say, though, and the key point is, we cannot become dependent on that revenue, and that's
but
why...
The problem is we sort of already are, aren't we?
Yeah, no,
we used
not.
It to fill numerous holes in the last budget, didn't we? To pay
once-off
cost of living payments to people who are struggling.
Exactly.
We are deeply... That's not the first time we've done it, though, is it? We've been doing that for a couple of years now, paying these once-off payments from corporation tax.
Okay. So the Minister for Public Expenditure, Michael McGrath, has stated very clearly this year, and also last year, and bear in mind he's only been at the wheel for two budgets, but he has stated both times that any additional revenue from corporation tax receipts will not be incorporated into day-to-day regular annual spending because we cannot bank on it year to year. So they used it for once-off, things like the energy credits, things like the welfare receipts, some seed capital for renewable energy projects, which will get us going very worthwhile spending.
Okay. No, I want to get back to Louise, but just to make the point to you, James, that what you're saying it's once-off, that's fine, but if we didn't have that money in the last budget that's just gone, the money for 2023, and it wasn't spent on all those payments that you're talking about, the energy credit and all the other once-off payments that have been made, the child benefit, etc., we would either have not been able to give that money to people who really needed it, or we would have had to take it from other revenue. So not having that revenue isn't as simple as saying just because it's not big. If we have another cost of living crisis this Christmas, we will be reliant on that revenue.
That's laws of mathematics. If we don't have it, we can't spend it. So if we don't have additional revenue, we can't have additional spending. Nobody's going to argue. I'm certainly not going to argue against that because that is the law of the abacus.
Okay, Louise?
I think what this underlines, Sarah, is the need for the government to bring forward a strategy in relation to an enterprise agency dedicated to Indigenous business. So those that are not covered by Enterprise Ireland. Enterprise Ireland do a great job, but there is a gap there. I spoke recently at the Family Business Owners Network conference, and they were very enthusiastic for it because they see that there is potential. So we can see it is not, you know, these workers who are getting these emails at the moment, there's no stability there for them. And if there's instability coming in the sector, now might not be the time to panic, and that's fair enough, but now is definitely the time to plan. So, I mean, we have already...
The time to plan was years ago. Now is not the time to plan. I mean, you're coming up with this idea now. Has Sinn Féin ever proposed what you're talking about before now?
Bear with me for one moment, please. We are long on the record as saying that this is needed. My colleague, Maurice Quinlivan, I think it was 6 years ago now, launched our Indigenous Enterprise Agency. So, and I will be launching a revamped version of it in the coming weeks. But I do think, and it's long-standing Sinn Féin policy, so, you know, I think what the government need to do is to look at that. I've spoken to the Taoiseach about it, and indeed he's agreed that they will examine it. But now, if the choice is to, you know, to say to people, panic is not going to help.
Okay. What we need Tell me a little bit more about what Sinn Féin has done then in relation to this Enterprise Indigenous Agency. How well worked out is that policy? You know, how many attempts have you made to meet the Taoiseach there about that? How strongly have you pushed it?
Okay.
What would it look like? How big would it be?
Okay. So what it is essentially is it unites all of the local enterprise offices under one single agency, and that agency is focused on growing those companies up that have potential to develop up to €10 million. What we want to do, and what we have proposed, is that we will work with the government if they are minded to do it, or indeed if they're not, I want to hear the reasons why. The Taoiseach has said it's something that he would be interested in discussing, and I have raised it with him at parliamentary oral questions a number of times. We also were hoping that the committee will have a hearing into it so that we'll have the opportunity to produce a further report on it. And as I said, we have set out our stall. We also need to look, though, at the collective bargaining legislation, because this is something, I think, where a trick has been missed. These workers aren't represented by a union. They're left very exposed by not being represented collectively by a union. So we do need to see, and I know the Taoiseach has on his desk a report from a high-level working group on collective bargaining, but what we haven't seen yet is the legislation arising out of that, and I think that needs to happen sooner rather than later, because the best protection, and I've said this a million times, it won't surprise you to hear me saying it again, but the best protection a worker can have at work is to join their union and be active in their union. And I think we can see here whereby, you know, there's no one group that they can go to. These workers now have to, when they engage in the collective, in the consultation period, they're going to have to elect a representative to go and engage in that with them. Where you have a trade union, where you have a strong voice at the workplace, you don't need that, because those structures are already in place. So we do want to see that collective bargaining legislation brought forward as soon as practicable. We also want to see the workers joining their union,
James,
and being active in their union.
Would you be in favour of that collective bargaining legislation?
Well, certainly, but I think that we already have that on the books, and we have very strong legislation around collective redundancies, and we're already seeing that playing through. Louise makes the point that many of these workers are not in a trade union. Typically, the case has been that workers in the technology sector, and indeed probably the life science and pharmaceutical to a certain extent as well, in the advanced economy, have not been members of the trade union because they've enjoyed good terms and conditions, good benefits, and perhaps there was a view taken that they didn't need to be part of a trade union. But I think trade unions are very important, play a very useful role, and I think any group that wants to organise should do so. But I suppose they're protected anyway, so they may not have a union representative formally representing them, but they have the law on their side. So they can avail of the collective redundancies legislation right now. There are lots of other employment legislation protections that they have on their side already, going into these talks that we expect to ensue. And I see a lot of them are actually briefing solicitors. Now, that's not necessarily something that everybody should want to do or should need to do. But I do see that they're in a position where they're perhaps going collectively to one or two firms, and those solicitors are taking those actions for them.
Okay.
So, again, they wouldn't be able to do that without the law already being in place to support them.
All right, we have to leave it there for the moment. Thank you both very much for joining us. That's James Lawless and Louise O'Reilly. Up next, we're going to hear about the new Irish study revealing 90% of long COVID patients are not back to full health after a year.